First, though, my first two guests this morning are embarking on a remarkable challenge which involves paddleboarding the length of the country. Now, this is a challenge which is going to take up to 3 months to complete. Of course, it's at the mercy of weather conditions. We'll find out why they're doing it in a moment. But first, let's meet Sophie and Dave, both from Berkshire. Dave's been telling me about the route they've plotted.
You can go all the way around the edge and take the coastal route. We've decided actually to mix it up and do a bit of the sea and a bit of the canal. So we've come up the Cornish and Devon coastline, and we've actually come in the Bristol estuary. So we're heading up the Severn Channel so we can get to the canals, and we can do the canal network to Blackpool, but that's kind of where our inland runs out, and then we're popped back out onto the sea to do a bit of the Irish Sea, west coast of Scotland, before heading straight through the Caledonian Canal, which is meant to be beautiful to connect the west and the east coast of Scotland.
Right, so you are getting a taste of it all then, not only coastal waters, tidal waters, but also inland waters as well.
Yeah, our background is very much rivers and lakes, so the canals kind of feel like home. The sea has been really impressive, but it's nice to have that mixture there. And then on the canals, you can, rather than having to rely on a six-window tidal window to get everything in, you can literally go from dawn to dusk. You get a lot more ability to chat to people as well about the challenge and about the charities that we're raising for. So we're looking forward to having those different elements there.
Right. I mean, we'll talk about why you're doing it in a moment and the charities that are going to benefit from all of this. But when it comes to the challenge itself, that is a lot of stand-up paddleboarding for a start. So how long is this whole thing going to take, Sophie?
So we are guesstimating about 3 months.
Wow.
But it really depends on weather. So within the first 16 days, we had 5 days off the water because of bad weather.
Yeah.
And as Dave was saying, the canals, hopefully that's going to expedite things a bit, and we don't have to worry about weather too much. But yeah, approximately 3 months.
Because that's the thing, isn't it? You think, well, we'll do it in the summer because the weather will be kinder. But actually, the weather that we've had over the last few weeks has been so changeable. Presumably, there have been times when you've just been caught in an absolute deluge.
We had a lovely rain shower as we were heading towards Barrow. Dave was not very impressed about getting drenched, but I quite like the rain, so I was teared up.
The thing is, there are going to be so many challenges that if you're not familiar with paddleboarding, you'll have no idea about. So as far as up until now is concerned, what's been the most difficult part, Dave?
Land's End is one of the most difficult parts. You've obviously got different tides there. There is absolutely nothing protecting Land's End from 3,000 miles or so forth of Atlantic to the US. So that's meant to be a very, very hard area. The Cornish coastline is known for its surf. Mm. So if you're doing this when you're getting on and off the beaches, you can be dealing with like 2-meter, 3-meter waves trying to get a paddleboard off the beach. So what we found, though, is that bits that we expected to be really tough haven't been.
Okay.
Bits that we didn't expect have been quite tough. I mean, we got a beautiful morning at Land's End, and we couldn't have hoped for better, and it was just all plain sailing. And as we come up the Bristol Channel, we're having some really tough days, which we didn't even incorporate into, you know, our plans or our minds that this would be tough.
But when you say tough days, what does that look like? Because in my head, a tough day stand-up paddleboarding would simply be not being able to stand up on the paddleboard. Is that what we're talking about here?
Yeah, we're talking about where you... We've set a target for the day, and we've looked at the tides, and we think we can do, say, 5K an hour is our general sort of leisurely pace if you're doing all day. And then you're saying, right, we've got 2K an hour of tide, so we should be able to make 7K. And then we've been going across bays, like we passed Burnham-on-Sea, and we literally had a side wind and side waves, and pretty much 80% of our paddle stroke was just trying to keep the paddleball straight to get across the bay rather than being sucked into the bay and into Burnham-on-Sea.
Right.
And then that day, at the end of the day, we came up on to Barrow Beach, where we tried to start the next morning at low tide, which is what we do. We tend to start low tide and then we paddle until high tide. So we've got the tide coming up the estuary with us. And when we arrived on the beach at 8 a.m. in the morning, the RNLI said to us, well, there's quicksand out there, and if you try and get to the water, you will be sort of knee-deep up in quicksand, unable to move, and we have to rescue you.
Oh, no.
So straight away, we lost 3 hours that morning and had to do a really short stint. The sand up the Bristol estuary, a lot of the beaches just are inaccessible at anything other than high tide.
Okay, so I mean, these are all things that I suppose you only learn when you're there, when you're on scene, if you like, because it's all down to different weather conditions on different days. At the end of each day, you must be absolutely shattered. So where are you sleeping, Sophie?
We are quite shattered, and we always have to do navigation for the next day as well to double check our chart. But we are sleeping in Dave's camper van for the majority of the time, which has been fantastic. But we have been very lucky up and down the coast to have some campsites to stay at and one lovely B&B that gave us an actual bed and hot shower for the night.
Now we're talking. So presumably someone is on hand to drive Dave's camper van alongside you at all times.
Well, we have a mix of support crews. So we had a lovely lady support us for the first few weeks of our journey, take some fantastic photos. She's now gone back, and we have a new member of support crew joining us for about 5 days. And then we've got some patches without. So at the moment, we're in a patch without. So as well as paddleboarding for 6 hours a day, we're also probably driving anywhere between an hour and a half to 3 hours a day as well.
What? So hang on a minute. So you're paddleboarding your way along. You're getting off the paddleboards, and then you're having to travel to where you last left the camper van.
So we have the camper van at the last location of the day, and we travel back to Dave's car, which came up with us about 4 or 5 days ago. It's amazing, all the things that you find out and all the things that you have to learn, like the tidal nav and things, and then, just logistics, like getting your food shopping as well for you and things like that. It's been interesting.
I love the logistical complications that these two have managed to overcome, and there is still a brilliant smile on their faces. More from Sophie and Dave to come in a second, including what happens when you have a massive domestic whilst paddleboarding the length of the UK with each other. I don't know about you, but I find it logistically challenging enough just to get myself up in the morning, the kids up, us dispatched to various places. Right now, though, a couple from Berkshire are paddleboarding from Land's End to John O'Groats, which is a serious mission. It's going to take up to 3 months. There's Sophie and Dave, who are already a couple of weeks into their journey and are currently approaching Wales as we speak. And I've been catching up with both of them. And I asked Sophie, actually, about which waters I might normally find her in here in Berkshire.
So I'm normally on the Thames, either paddleboarding or wild swimming. So, normally around Reading area, paddling up and down. And I did do a Thames challenge, actually, as well, which is how Dave and I met. But if not the Thames, the Kennet and Avon Canal.
Right. OK, so either way, much calmer than some of the waters that you are experiencing at the moment.
Oh, definitely. Much calmer. Don't have to worry too much about the tides. Just check the boards. You don't want to be going out on the river on a red board. But other than that, much less to think about, which is fantastic.
So you met for the first time in water then. Did your eyes meet over the top of the Thames?
Something like that. So we joined a friend of a local instructor in Reading. It's up here. I was doing a Thames challenge towards the Limehouse Basin, Josiah of Canary Wharf. And I signed up for 1 day to do the Oxford to Chillingford leg and stayed for 7. And on the last day, Dave turned up and we got chatting. Went for a few drinks over the following weeks that commenced. And he said to me, I want to paddleboard Land's End to John O'Groats. Do you want to come? I said, yes. And he was like, you do realise what I'm asking of you? Like, it's quite a serious endeavour and dangerous. And I was like, yes, I know this, and I still want to come. And then I think it must be about 3 months later, around now, here we are.
Wow. I mean, at that point, Dave, presumably you thought this one's a keeper, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. It's not every day. I always envisage this as being like a pair, because obviously having two people on the water gives you that extra safety and like camaraderie and makes the journey a little bit more pleasant, even in the darker times.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can believe it. So I had to double check, but it was literally like a week after we met. And she's like, yeah, sure, I'll paddleboard 1,600 kilometres from Land's End to John O'Groats. So I was like, are you absolutely sure? But yeah, it's all turned out well.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds amazing. But why did you want to do it, Dave, in the first place? Because it sounds as though you were the driving force behind this to begin with. What was the appeal for you?
I find it really hard to talk, you know, adventurers always talk about their why, and like when times get tough, come back to your why. And I find it really hard to kind of voice that. But I started paddleboarding last summer, so it hasn't been too long. And I think on my second trip, I went about 16K. And I really love that feeling of actually covering distance on a paddleboard, even though it's quite literally. So I started looking at challenges you could do. Could you go from one coast to the other? And for some reason, it popped into my head, maybe you could do Land's End to John O'Groat on a paddleboard. So I started researching that, and I kind of just got hooked on the idea of this fantastic voyage, kind of one of the classic journeys, but generally done either walking or by bicycle, and just having like a cracking summer where you can really like say that you visited the whole part of the country. And obviously the added element is that we could raise some money for charity as well.
Yeah, and I think I'm right in thinking that this hasn't been done by a pair before, this route.
No, it hasn't. It hasn't been done. It hasn't been done by a pair, as far as we know. It's been done by two females solo back in 2018, and one male. So we aren't the first, but we are the first pair to accomplish it.
Right. Now, who are you raising money for, Dave? Because it's not just one charity, is it? It's multiples.
We ended up with a list of about 20, 30 charities and realised there's too many good causes that yeah. called to us. And in the end, we settled for kind of a joint charity and one each, making three. So mine is RNLI, which most people aren't estranged to RNLI. They literally run lifeboat stations and patrol beaches and pretty much, I mean, save lives at sea. I mean, if you put it on a tin, that's what they do. They save people from drowning and from all calamities at sea.
Yes, so my charity is Wilderness Foundation, and they are a charity that do therapy programs for people who are suffering with anxiety, depression, or have been an abusive.
I mean, if you put it on a tin, that's what they do. They save people from drowning and from all calamities at sea.
Yes, so my charity is Wilderness Foundation, and they are a charity that do therapy programs for people who are suffering with anxiety, depression, or have been in abusive circumstances. But they don't just offer the therapy. What they do is also get people outdoors.
Well, I mean, it sounds like a brilliant thing to be doing. So the RNLI, Wilderness, and I know the other charity is the community charity Frontline Children as well. And you're hoping to raise roughly what, Dave?
Just to talk about Frontline, a big part of our wish when we did this journey was to kind of involve the community, and the paddleboard community are so lovely and so opening. So we actually met somebody through the paddleboard community who runs a charity called Frontline Children, and they basically build schools in war-torn countries, and he's been so helpful we've incorporated that into our third charity. We set ourselves a massive challenge when we started this to say that if we could raise £5 per charity per kilometre, that's what we wanted to aim at. So overall, that brings the total to £24,000.
Wow. I mean, the big question is, I suppose, just finally, have you had a row yet? Because I'm thinking, you know, there can be, you know, most couples who spend a lot of time with each other, you know, tensions, you know, moods can get a bit frayed. And normally, you know, if you have a bit of a row, one of you can walk off, go to the shop, go and do something without the other one being in their faces. You haven't got that luxury. So has it occurred yet?
Yes. We've had, well, ironically, we had one today.
Amazing.
But actually, it was quite funny, or at least I found it funny. We'll see if he did. We had a little bit of a row, and then we paddled in silence, but still smiling at each other. So I think the fact that we can smile and laugh after is good. And we had our first argument, and I'm gutted because I caught it on film, and then I lost my camera.
Oh, no!
So, we've had a few, but we tend to laugh afterwards.
Right. I mean, Dave, would you have described that moment as funny?
It was not the time. We were going past a headland called Malt Point, which obviously translates as Death Point. And it was quite gnarly. And we were arguing with each other on really choppy waters. And Sophie had it all on the kind of action camera. We had like a GoPro equivalent. So we had it on the action camera, which unfortunately a few days later, Sophie decided to drop in the water. So I don't know if that's better for me or worse. I kind of wanted to see the footage, but I'm kind of glad that argument will never see the light of day.
Yeah, that footage lost forever. Aren't they brilliant? Sophie and Dave are going to keep a track of their journey, plotting where they are each week on the show. Looking forward to hearing more about those arguments. It's the idea of having a massive row with each other and then having to silently paddleboard alongside each other for goodness knows how many hours. Brilliant.